5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
When I see my baby, what do I see? Poetry, poetry in motion.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
That's a fanfare for me, by Jiminy. It is the new Panic Room episode 124. Can you believe there's been 123 of these, which is kind of scary, really. And it is. I totally forgot we had the show tonight. I settled down to watch a movie with my little girl, and suddenly realised, literally an hour ago, shit, we got a show. All the days have sort of blended into one. I think it happens this time of year. And I honestly forgot it was a Thursday, but it is. It is Thursday. I hope, if it's not, I'm talking to myself. It is Thursday, the 27th of December. And merry belated Christmas. And to be fair, thank God that's over. It was a bit of an ordeal, as usual. But and speaking of, pick the perfect tune. Speaking of poetry in motion, we have our very own little bit of poetry, and it works because she's a poet, so and she moves, So I guess it works. The song was written about her, clearly. It's got to be Xtina. How smooth was that?
It was awesome. I liked that. Yeah.
Seamless. It was seamless. It was just, yeah. And welcome to the show. I seriously not joking. I completely and utterly forgot that we had the show. You know, my brain thought it was Saturday. It's been one long Saturday since last Saturday. So what's going on?
Yeah, I didn't forget, but the time was sure slipping away from me. I looked at it and I was like, holy crap, it's like less than an hour. So I had to
wasn't for the fact that my daughter was getting a little bit tired and she's, you know, can we finish watching the movie tomorrow? And I just like, oh, good job she said that. Otherwise, I'd have either, you know, I'd still been watching the movie or I'd have fallen asleep. So it's that. And speaking of which, India joining us after the break. She's going to be reviewing the movie of the moment, actually, which is Bird Box, which we sat and watched last night. I'm not going to. She will give you her honest to goodness opinion on the movie. So that'll be good. That'll be good. So it is Thursday night, and again, as usual, I've no idea what's going on. So what have we got this evening, Xtina?
Tonight we have horror author Edward Trimnell, I think is the pronunciation of his last name. If not, he will let us know.
Well, but that'll be
I'm
great.
I'm excited to have him. Yeah.
I'm excited. Always great to meet new authors. And, you know, I'm trying to think of a segue, but I haven't got one. But Donald Trump, obviously, has been in the news again. He totally destroyed some poor little kids' belief in Santa. He visited the troops, and I can imagine, you know, they were thrilled. I can imagine that they were thrilled.
Yeah.
And it's funny, actually, because I've got a bit of an ongoing Facebook thing going, a feud going on with one particular Trump supporter. She's one of these. If Trump broke into a house and took a shit on her cat, she would still think he was the donkey's whatnots. You know, and she's
there
on this whole
she's
on this whole Michelle Obama is a man kick. Her argument is that because there's no pictures floating around of Michelle Obama when she was pregnant, therefore she's a man. And it's maybe she's not a media whore, you know, because obviously she had her children before Obama was in power. So maybe they're private. Maybe she doesn't plaster. I don't plaster personal shit all over Facebook. Unlike Melania Trump, and we know for sure that she's not a man because we've fucking seen it. We've seen all her bits and bobs and all the moistness and booby calls and everything, because we have. They are all over the internet. Maybe if Michelle Obama, you know, put out a few hamburger shots across Facebook and Instagram, that whole thing would go away. But I mean, it's just, she's got more dignity than that. She's got more dignity in her little finger than the whole Trump family have put together, to be honest. I did say hamburger shots. If I've offended anybody in any way, shape, or form, I couldn't care less. So there you have it. But it's almost becoming no longer sport, really, to pick on these people, because they are so stupid. You know, it is a commonality throughout this type of person. They're just so dumb fucks, stupid. It's not a challenge anymore.
No, they make it too easy. Yeah, definitely. They make it too easy.
So look at all the great things Donald Trump's done. Like what? Most of his staff have gone. You know, he's got this revolving door thing. People are coming. His chief of staff's leaving. His head of defense has gone. Everybody's leaving because they don't want to get caught up in the shitstorm when it all goes down.
Yep, smart on them.
You know, but these are the people that got him into power. They're just hard and fast, no matter what he did. They think he's just wonderful, and it is that mentality. And it is, if you haven't seen the movie Idiocracy, watch it. Seriously, watch it. And I first saw it a few years ago, and it's a good sort of bit of comedy. I watched it again recently, and it's sort of, this is really funny now. Yeah, we're living this. Yeah, we have a complete moron as a president. I mean, that was voted in by a complete utter moron. But anywho, as a tribute, as a Christmas tribute to the Donald, I'm going to play this because I love this.
I really believe I'd run into it even if I didn't have a weapon.
Nobody knows the system better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows. Nobody's better.
Nobody's stronger.
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
Nobody knows that better than me.
Nobody even understands it but me.
Nobody can do it like me.
Which is why I alone can fix it.
I have Ivy League education, smart guy.
I know words. I have the best words.
You're like, I'm a smart person.
It's this. It's not my salesmanship.
It's what?
This. You know what that is? It's the brain power.
I'm getting thousands of letters and tweets that I was right about the whole situation. I mean, I've been right about a lot of things, frankly. I should be a newscaster because I called it before the news.
I watch your stuff. You know, I'm like a guy with vision.
I have an instinct for this kind of thing.
I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war.
In my book, I predicted terrorism.
It's a rigged system. I think I've done a great service by pointing this out. I was the one that really broke the glass ceiling on behalf of women.
I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Did a great job in Texas, a great job in Florida.
I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history.
You look like a million and a half people.
Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout.
I understand steaks. It's my favorite food, and these are the best.
They keep me from running.
Can you believe it?
A little tribute to the Donald there, which is just, oh, bless him. What he did forget, obviously, to say, he is the best at being a bit of a knob. So there's that.
He's good at that.
He is the absolute best at being a dick. I mean, give him something. Give him that credit at least, you know. So hey. And I just have this horrible thought. I mean, we've got Edward Trimnell coming on, and one of these days we're going to get a guest on, and they're going to be a Trump supporter, and that is going to be the most awkward 90 minutes in show history, I think. But go on.
I do remember the one show where we had Deborah Anastasia, and we were just, you know, pretty much trashing E.L. James and
By we, you mean me.
yeah, you were. I was trying to stay neutral, I was. But yeah, and I love Deborah Anastasia, love her to pieces, and she gets on and she's like, you know, I'm friends with her and she might be listening.
Yeah, I thought Deborah's never been back. She never came back on.
No, she did too.
She's a sport, but I mean, we don't do neutral. Well, I don't do neutral. You are sort of, no. imagine this show if it was just me all the time, because it would just be like, you know, you're sort of a level, you're sort of a bit of a barometer for me, and sort of bring me down from somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't do neutral. I think I just never have. It's one or the other with me, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you are.
I could never be a diplomat. I've been told that many, many times throughout my life. You just don't try for a job in the diplomatic corps, they used to say. So, and I didn't. Maybe I should have.
No.
But, you know, no, not really. So I think we should find out. If you would like to introduce our first guest, that would be awesome.
Our first guest is horror author Edward Trimnell. Yay!
Good evening,
hello,
sir.
Hello, James Xena. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Edward. How are you, sir?
Oh, very good. Thank you for having me on tonight. I appreciate it. Glad to be here. Joining you from Windy, Ohio right now.
Oh, awesome. Nice. Is that where the potatoes come from?
No, we're just a little bit east of where they grow the potatoes. In Ohio, there's not too much. We grow chemicals and machine tools, and that's about it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I think Ohio's one of those states that have, like, a population of, like, six or something. I mean, like, very, very thin population, I'm still learning about the states.
No, there's more people in Ohio than there is in Greece, for example. So, like, 11 million people, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's bigger than I thought. Well, I know there's some of the states that are very sparsely populated. That I know Texas isn't one of them. We have a lot of people in Texas, but then again, Texas is huge. So there's that. So
it
there's
is.
That.
The Dakotas, I think, is what you're thinking of, maybe.
Is it?
I think there's like 500,000 people in all of South Dakota, something to that extent.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah. Quite possibly, yeah. But no, thank you for joining us, Edward. I'm much appreciated. And you are here to talk to us about your book, 11 Miles of Night, which sounds awesome, I have to say. I'm going to read the tagline because Xtina's bothered. She actually bothered to put the tagline down this week, which is great.
Thank you, Xtina.
Normally, she did. Last week, she didn't bother. Couldn't be bothered, to be honest. A college student.
You just didn't
write it down. Just don't try to cover up. A college student takes a long walk down the most haunted road in Ohio. Will he survive all 11 miles with his sanity intact? I love the premise. That sounds brilliant. Tell us a bit more about it, Edward.
Well, it came. It basically was a mashup of two premises or two ideas, I guess you could say. The first was actually it came from a dream that I had quite some time ago. I had this dream of walking through this darkly enchanted forest, and of course it was a really strong image, but of course that was just an image. It wasn't a story really. Then I kind of was knocking that around in my head for a while. And after that, I was looking at some of the local legends here in Ohio. I live in a part of the state that has a lot of urban legends and a lot of ghost stories. For example, not too far from where I live, there's this stretch of the main two-lane highway around these parts called Ohio Pike. And there's an area called Dead Man's Curve where since the late 60s, they've seen this apparition that supposedly jumps on people's cars. I don't know. I should drive it some night and find out because it's just a few miles from my house.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to thinking about that legend I was thinking about too. But then I decided I wanted to take it a step further and make it kind of, you know, I don't know if you in the UK, if you had the Looney Tunes or not, but there's this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's this end of the segment where, like, all of the different characters get on stage. So I wanted to have this road that was not just one apparition or not just one spirit or one monster, but a whole bunch of them. So that the whole thing was paranormally active. Yeah, paranormally active and so on. And the protagonist of the story is a college filmmaker, and the way he gets involved with this road is a cable TV ghost hunter hires him to walk down this 11-mile stretch of the road that is especially notorious for paranormal activity and document what he finds. And so the novel is basically the lead up to that, and then most of it is his trek down this haunted road and all of the things that he encounters along the way, not just supernatural entities, but also some human threats as well.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I love the premise. It sort of reminds me a little bit of Clive Barker's Nightbreed, where he brought together a whole bunch of monsters together. And I like the idea that, you know, all the monsters and that sort of hang out together. That's pretty awesome.
You're right. Pretty Clive awesome. Barker does. I read a lot of Clive Barker. He was just really breaking out in the mid-80s when I was in college. Uh-huh. And yeah, I did read a lot of his books. He was probably a big influence on me, I'd say.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, I read books in 87-ish, thereabouts. I left the university, I was working, away, and I bought the whole set. And absolutely blew my mind. I mean, just phenomenal. You know, the originality in those books was just, you know, never seen anything like that in a long, long time, if ever, I would say. But it's that, funnily enough, I've always been interested in, obviously wanted to write, and I think by then I'd written my first novel. And I actually stopped writing for about 10 years after that, because I thought I could never get even close books of blood to what Clive has done. I just stopped me writing, because I'm just near good. Now I think I'm good enough, but you know, then now it just completely knocked the wind out of my sails.
Kind of the same thing for me too. I kind of procrastinated on for a long time. Of course, the good thing was, though, I waited until word processing software was invented. So a little convenient. If I would have started back
I often think word processing software was actually invented specifically for me, because one of the things, I mean, I used to hammer out the very first, you know, typewriter I had was one of the old, you know, ones with keys, one of the old manuals with keys, and I used to hammer that. And it was funny because you'd be writing a sentence, and then you'd get to, and I'd write myself in like halfway through a sentence, and then it was like, I'd have to sit and think of what to come next, because I didn't want to go back and change the word or cross it out, which was just
yeah.
Now you can do it and then change it and chop it. And I love all of that. But how authors used to knock stuff out on the old manual type, I don't know. It must have been.
I was the same
soul
way.
Destroyed.
I was very conservative with my keystrokes back then, because I didn't want to use that whiteout fluid.
Yeah, well, because you could go back and then, you know, cross it out and hit the X key to cross it out, but it was just like, you know, because even now it will take me sometimes, you know, a sentence can take 3, 4, 5 goes to get it right. But yeah, now it's just, it is a lot. I mean, it's, you know, it's still the same process, but it's a lot easier and, you know, a lot less paper as well.
Yeah, the thing I'm trying to master now is the dictation software. Have you messed around with that much?
Is the what? Sorry.
The dictation software, like the Dragon Dictate, and.
Oh no! No.
Oh, what about you? I can't hear you laughing there. Did you?
No, you know, no, definitely not. I fumble when I walk, so it's the same with talking. So no, I would have a lot of stuttering and it would just be a mess. So no, I'm much better when I can type it out.
It's funny for me, you know, for notes. I mean, I can use occasionally. I've got a couple of dictation apps on my phone. You know, if I'm driving or whatever, I can use those if I have an idea. But to actually write, my brain is wired to write. I can't speak
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't speak
yeah,
it
yeah.
as I want it to look on the page because it would be different. So I have to. It's over the years, people said, "Why don't you, you know, dictate it?" And I just get somebody to type it, and I just can't because
yeah.
that's not how my process works. I just physically it would not come out right because part
no,
of physically typing it up, physically hitting those keys, is part of the creative process for me. So I mean, do you dictate your novels much, Edward? Do you embrace that technology?
I'm trying to evolve more towards that, particularly when you're getting into high word counts and so on. You get the issue with the, what do they call it, the carpal tunnel and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been using it, but kind of like where you guys are at in it, it just doesn't quite feel right. You know, it's like walking outside without your shoes on. I can get words on the page, but it's definitely not as clear. And I find that I need more editing, but that's a long-term goal, I guess, to
I can tell a wonderful story in writing. I really can. It can sound so eloquent and so wonderful, and then I go to speak, and, you know, I cannot tell a joke to save my life. I will tell you the punchline first and then wonder why nobody's laughing when I get through with it. I mean, it's a mess, so... Yeah, I would much rather write than speak, you know, anytime.
Awesome,
so,
awesome.
Yeah,
but again,
yeah.
I mean, it could well, I mean, it quite, you know, if we needed to, we could probably train ourselves to do that. But it's, for me, like you said, I especially when I've been, you know, working flat out, you know, I get the carpal tunnel and my shoulder throbs and, but it's part of the job. pop a few ibuprofen and get the heaty weety out and, you know, we're sorted. But I presume you guys know what a heaty weety is, yeah?
No. No, not so much.
it's basically a chunk of cloth with, and they fill it with wheat grains.
Oh.
And then you put it in the microwave for like a minute. It warms them up, and then you sort of drape it on the, you know, if your shoulder or whatever is hurting, and it soothes it with heat. And they're great because it molds to you. And I can wholeheartedly recommend them.
Don't we do that with rice? I think we do that with rice. We have like
rice would work too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rice would work
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
do
the fonda. That's
fine. Mm. There you go. A little bit of medical advice from the panic room. There you go. We've got it all going on. All going.
You guys
on.
Do a little bit
every. we do. We, you know, like to feel there is something for everyone. I think there is on this show. So.
Right.
So we're going to put Edward on the spot now. You have an excerpt to read for us. Sadly, it's not a long one. I would love to read all of it. But would you like to delight us?
She told me to keep it to under 5 minutes. So I know one of the most annoying things, if you're organizing any kind of speaker for anything, is when somebody takes more than their allotted time on a reading. So I said, I'm not going to be that person. So
good for you.
Yes,
thank you.
This is kind of an excerpt in the middle of a scene. It's when the main character, Jason, encounters one of those entities that is disguised as a child. So I'll just go ahead and read. He thought it very strange that a child would not react to the voice of a strange adult in a setting like this. Perhaps she's deaf, Jason speculated, deaf or in shock. Reluctantly, Jason reached forward and put a hand on her shoulder. What struck him immediately was the texture of the flesh beneath the girl's dress. It did not feel like flesh at all. It was hard and cold and rough to the touch, like the cold bark on a winter-exposed branch of a tree. The girl abruptly stopped her crying. She whirled on him, and Jason flinched backward and quickly withdrew his hand. Then he found that he had sudden cause to wonder about his sanity. The girl's face was not what he had expected. It was pinched, shriveled, and ancient. Jason's mind rapidly assessed the revised reality before him. This was not a little girl at all. This was some malevolent and unnatural thing that had partially taken on a little girl's form. She uttered a low, knowing laugh at Jason. Her skin was gray and mottled with brown patches like the skin of a rotting corpse. Her eyes rolled over in their sockets, revealing black, swollen pupils beneath a film of white. "You're the one who's going to die," the creature hissed at him. The girl thing opened her mouth to reveal a set of teeth that were long, yellow, and canine. Her hands shot up, and Jason could see that the skin of her arms was also discolored and wrinkled. The thing's fingers and blackened nails were impossibly long. She darted for his throat. Jason jumped backward, tripping over his own feet, and taking a pratfall on the pavement. He raised an arm in defense. Now that he was vulnerable, he was sure that she was going to pounce on him. With those long talons at the tips of her hands, she could easily rip his throat open. At that moment, he became aware of the sound of a car's engine, and the two of them were illuminated by an approaching pair of headlights. The girl held up one arm to shield her face from the headlights. She seemed to have suddenly forgotten all about Jason. She turned away and took several long, bounding steps into the woods. Like everything else about her, these steps were unnatural. She leapt 3 feet at a time. Sitting there in the road, a part of Jason, his survival instinct, he would later tell himself, told him that the oncoming car was his more immediate problem. The glare of the headlights was growing brighter, and the roar of the engine suddenly much, much louder. The driver laid on the horn in a way that seemed to indicate anger rather than caution or concern.
"You can't stop there."
"Oh, no, I told you I wanted more."
That was great.
Yeah, to paraphrase Monty Python, that was never 5 minutes just then. And if anybody's a Monty Python fan, they will get that reference. Xtina won't, because she's pig ignorant. She really is pig ignorant. To be honest.
I
think
so nice.
With the
he's
old
so sweet.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That's the only one I.
Oh, have you? You've never seen The Life of Brian? Seriously?
I haven't. I'm a little.
The Life of. It's funny. We were talking about perfect films. Just I think it was last week. You know, films like Alien, Jaws. I think Back to the Future was thrown in there. There's literally a handful. I think arguably Citizen Kane, but although I thought that was overrated. But I think Life of Brian has to be one of those movies. It was everything was just right. You know, and it's funny actually. I read the I got the Python compendium a couple of years ago, and I mean, it's a big massive thing, but the history of the making of Life of Brian is in there, and they say
that
even they
I
said
everything just
came together just right. Even down. Filmed a lot of it in Tunisia, and as just pure coincidence, Spike Milligan happened to be on vacation in Tunisia at the time, and he actually got a warm part. I think he even got a one word line, and he did it for nothing. He just wanted to be in the film, and there you have it. Just suddenly Spike Milligan turns up, and it's just like just. But the whole thing, you know, the Pythons wrote the script, I think, in like a week. You know, they sent, you know, packed themselves off to some hotel somewhere, hunkered down for a week, and just pulled the whole script together. And it, you have to see it. He's phenomenal. He's still funny now as it was back in whatever 78, 79, whenever it came out. And of course, you must. It's called The Life of Brian.
I agree with you about Citizen Kane, by the way. That was the biggest disappointment ever. I heard about that movie and how great it was, and then I'm watching. I keep waiting for it to get better.
Yeah,
time.
You're waiting for something to happen, or yeah, I know. I mean, I would rate Psycho above that any day.
Yeah.
Psycho, again, I would say, you know, the original Psycho, not the travesty with what's his face on. I can't remember his name, Vince Vaughn. The original Psycho was phenomenal. And say yeah, I only watched this in Kane because everybody said, you know, it regularly tops the polls. I don't know who votes for these things. Regularly tops the polls of your best movie ever. And yeah, I'm with you, Edward. I didn't get it. I didn't get it, you know. But hey, maybe that was just me. Or both.
I'm guessing I'm guessing it was dependent on the socio political situation at the time or something. I don't know.
But, it may well have been you had to see it in. I guess it's like I mentioned the movie Idiocracy earlier on. You know, you watch that movie now, you watch it with different eyes. I first saw it, I think it's about 3 years ago, before Donald Trump, when Donald Trump was just a reality TV show star, which is pretty much all he is now, to be honest. But now, you know, see the reference, and it's like, right, okay, and it is, you do see it differently. Life of Brian in its day was, in fact, where I lived in England, the local council banned it because it was supposed to be blasphemous. And the Python said it wasn't, you know, a take on Jesus. It was, you know, a guy called Brian who was mistaken for being the Messiah. But because it was the Python, it was irreverent. It was obviously a swipe at Christianity. And yeah, there was, it was placed in England, banned. I think so in some countries of the world, it's still banned.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Doncaster town council actually banned the film. He was banned for a couple of months, and then they managed to get it through, and we went to see it. Then it was banned again. So it's just like, but it is absolutely pant-wettingly funny. You will love it. If you're a Python fan, you will love it.
I'll make a note to check that out.
There you go. There Uh-oh. You go.
As far as satirical films of the, I don't know, this one's kind of you guys might terminate the call when I say that I like this one, but did you guys watch Blazing Saddles?
I did, and it's one of the, I saw it actually when I was at university. It's one of those films that everyone raves about, and I'm going to be controversial here. Again, apart from the campfire scene, the baked bean scene, because farts, to be fair, are funny. I didn't really get it. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna, you know, say that again. It rings a bell, but I have no clue if I saw it or not. I'm one of those people that, you know, a million people. Did you see this movie? No. Did you see this movie? No. What have I been doing with my life? I really don't know.
I don't know.
I just saw Jaws like 6 months ago.
A little more recent.
The first
what about
time.
Office Space?
But what's Office Space? I have not seen that.
That was about that. Jennifer Aniston was in that actually. That came out in 1999.
I do like Jennifer.
Yeah.
She puts in a good turn. Puts in a good turn as Jennifer. Yeah.
Basically, I watch something when James says, "If I don't, he's never speaking to me again." So
yeah,
I have to hurry up and watch it.
She saw Jaws about a month ago, and Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah,
I know. Tell me how embarrassing. I would be mortified. I'm showing my age now. I saw Jaws when it first came out at the cinema, the ABC in Doncaster. I remember going to see it, and it was just like, wow, wow, what a phenomenal, just perfect film.
I do have a story on Jaws. I was just a little too young to see the first one when it came out of the theater, but the second, you remember Jaws 2? And
oh, yes.
I was like,
yes.
9 years old. It was in the, I think it was 1977. I was 9 years old, 10 years old. It might have been 78, sometime around then. And I remember bugging my parents to take me to see Jaws 2. Because I was fascinated with sharks at that. I, you know, like little boys go through periods,
yeah,
like your dinosaur phase. And
dinosaurs,
that was
yeah.
That shark phase. Yeah. that was my shark phase at that point. I remember we were taking a trip to a family vacation to Myrtle Beach, and my mom did let me see it, but I had to wait until we got back from Myrtle Beach so that it wouldn't
spoil.
Yeah, spoil the trip to the beach, I guess.
But I'm showing my age, but I went to see that, and again, it's lauded very much as the first, you know, big summer blockbuster. Spielberg apparently invented that whole thing.
It was
a game changer. The book was good, but it was, even now, and again, I saw it again quite recently with my daughter. She's a bit of a horror movie buff. And it's still good, you know, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell the shark, Bruce, as they called it, was fake. And it didn't matter. It really didn't matter, because it was such an awesome, everything, just, again, your perfect film. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, I really hope to dear God they don't remake it. You know, they made it with CGI and everything, it would just destroy it. It really would.
It was very. They had everything was perfect in that. They had the right actors like Roy Schneider, Dreyfuss, and the script
Robert
followed
Shaw.
The movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the script followed the movie pretty closely, and the tension was there. And you're right. That was one of, I guess it was, if not his very first, one of his Steven Spielberg's first films, and they just nailed everything there.
Yeah, I think it was his first sort of big budget film. He'd done a few before that, but in fact, I don't know if you ever. I think his first feature film was a movie called Duel with Dennis Weaver. It was basically about a guy being terrorized by a truck. He got into a sort of a spot on the road with a big truck driver, and if you get a chance to see it, it's probably out a bit on Netflix or what have you. And again, it's vintage Spielberg, you know, he builds the tension up. And one of the things he does, you never see the truck driver. Obviously, it's not a demonically possessed truck, you know, there is somebody driving it, and it's a spat between Dennis Weaver and the truck driver, but he makes the truck the bad guy. And it's incredibly well, it's Dennis Weaver on all these desert roads against this truck, and it is incredibly well done. Incredibly well done. So, again, there you go. More education from the panic room. So, there you go.
I've got a lot of movies I got to catch up on after that, I can tell.
Well, what we will do, we will get you back on in about 6 months, and woe betide you if you haven't watched all of them. There will be.
There will be a test.
Just about
doing.
But
well,
yeah,
in terms of us binge watching, I guess the recent thing that I got through is and I'm a little bit behind the curve on this, but it definitely wouldn't be the first time in my life I was behind the curve. I finally got around to watching all the Sopranos. Did either of you watch those?
No, I did not. Is it as good as they say?
What do you think, X-Teen? Have you seen them?
I haven't. No, it was on the list for a while. It was, but no.
They are really good. You know, it's about the mafia, obviously, but there's a little bit of black humor, but not to the point where you can't take it seriously. So there is a little bit of that dark irony in it. So it's not quite like The Godfather. The Godfather, there's no humor or levity in The Godfather whatsoever.
No, none.
But
no,
the
it was
thing
all
about
soaked out.
The thing about The Sopranos that I like is it's a it is a mafia series, but it's also a family drama as well. And the lead character, Tony Soprano, I would say one of the most compelling characters in TV that I've ever seen. So I definitely recommend that. That would be my recommendation.
Also, I'm looking into it.
Binge watching television.
Well,
I was aware of it, and so I was just I'm speaking, Xtina, thank you. Did you know you know Edward, you can't get the staff, you really can't. I was aware, I've heard a lot of good things about that show. It's one that I like. But since then, it's on my list of things I really. But there's that many good things keep coming round. It just slips, gets further back and further back and further back. But I haven't got around to seeing Better Call Saul yet, and I really, really want to. I love, big fan of Breaking Bad. I love the character of Saul, and I haven't had. It's just slipping further down. I mean, I'm getting into Night Flyers now, so God only knows if I'm going to get around to anything else for a bit. But anyway,
there's a lot of good TV to watch.
Unfortunately, yes, there's a lot of shit as well, but there's enough good stuff to keep us occupied, unfortunately.
Well, we have to take a short break, Edward. We're going to pay some bills, and don't go anywhere, and we will have you back on. I think we're going to have India on first, and she's going to review something for us, and then we'll have you back on, okay?
Okay, I will stand by.
Okay, and we will be right back after these messages, as they say in sort of real radio land.
Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Go. Welcome back to part two.
And we're back. Are you back? Are you with us, Xtina, or have you just wandered off?
I am. Yes. And you know, I always have a little bit of panic when you know, I don't hear you or anything right away, because then I'm going to have to fill the void, and I tend to freeze up whenever that happens. So
you should be used to all this by now. It's like, you know, we've been doing this forever. Oh, it just feels like we've been doing this forever. I mean, it's just, we're just going on and on. I mean, it's just, yeah. Will it ever end? Will it ever end?
No, hopefully not.
Probably not. I think as long as breath in our bodies and terrific authors to speak to, I can't see it ever finishing. It's something to do with a Thursday, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
I almost did forget it this week, but hey, we've and it's a rare treat. Only happens during school holiday time. Actually, we've got India's going to be on in a second, and she's going to be doing our favorite slot. So here we go.
Oh, hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh no.
I love that guy. Oh no! So, India, say hi to our listener.
Hello.
Put your face near the microphone, Phil.
Hi.
Oh, Gina, you can't get this. All the kids, you can't get the stuff. All the kids, really. So, India, it's so much better than our last reviewer, I have to say. India's no names, no pack drill. India is here to why are you here?
I'm here to review Bird Box.
Bird Box. Right, okay. And I'm not going to give my opinion because nobody cares about what I think. So, India, you review, you tell our listener all about it.
Bird Box was okay. It wasn't like a jump scary movie. It was more of I don't know.
It had a few jump scares in it, but it was more of a slow burn psychological thing, wasn't it?
I kind of thought it was like Slenderman, because you couldn't, like, there's like this thing going around and you couldn't look at it, or it would make you like insane and crazy.
Well, people saw these creatures. They went mad and killed themselves. I mean, don't want to spoil it for anybody who's not seen it. Wow. Xtina, who'll probably end up seeing it in about 30 years' time, when I finally got to the end of my rope and threatened to not let her on the show ever again. But
that's on my list to see soon. Yeah, it's on my list.
It's on Netflix. You should. It is. I did enjoy it. I mean, it was enjoyable, wasn't it? It was tense. Sandra Bullock was phenomenal. John Malkovich is always a joy, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Always puts in a good turn. So, what was your favorite bit?
I think my favorite bit, I don't want to spoil anything, but I think my favorite bit was, whenever they let this one guy in, and basically he claimed that he was, like, that he didn't see the creature, and then, like, they blocked all the windows and stuff, and then, like, these two girls had their babies, and then he like tore down the newspaper on the windows and made them look at the guy. And one girl, she just had her baby. She saw the light and ran and jumped out the window and killed herself. And then the other girl didn't look at the thing. Didn't look at the.
Yeah, there was a lot of babies, having people having babies and whatnot. But
only two.
Well, two, you know. But it was, I don't know if again, Xtina, in fact, there was a movie, M. Night Shyamalan movie a few years ago called The Happening, which was one of the most god-awful films on the planet I've ever had the misfortune to pay money to go and see. And it was kind of reminiscent of that, in which, you know, you didn't really get to see. He didn't see them, but it was done a lot better. I mean, with that, the M. Night film, it was the trees what had done it. And because the trees were putting out a pheromone that was making people kill themselves, which is just really ridiculous. But so it's kind of reminiscent of that, but a heck of a lot better. It was incredibly well done.
Now, so it is. I do want to see it. It is on my list to see, like, soon, like really, really soon, the next, you know, few days or whatever. But it kind of just the idea kind of reminds me of what was it called? A Quiet Place, the movie that was out not too long ago, except it's not sound, but it's.
Well, what do you think, Indy? Do you think it's a fair comparison? Do you think it was a bit like A Quiet Place?
Nope.
It's drawn the comparisons. I mean, there are similarities here. But it is a different movie altogether, I think.
Okay. I think.
Whereas, I guess, with one thing with A Quiet Place, obviously they had to be quiet with Bird Box. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to see. And I'm in trouble now. Go on. That's elderly. She's hitting me. That's elderly abuse. I will report it.
I will flick you. I think one similarity to it, which my dad spoiled, was that that the similarity to it was both of the movies, they couldn't do one thing, which was like The Quiet Place, they couldn't talk, and then the Bird Box, they couldn't see.
Right.
But I think other than that, I mean, the similarity ends.
Two totally
different films, really. But I think you will enjoy. I mean, okay, how many indie stars would you give it out of 10? When you're ready. Will you stop abusing me? She's abusing me. She really, I'm just getting beaten up here.
I would say 7.5 out of 10.
7.5 indie stars. There
that's
you go.
Not bad.
But
that's
good.
Yeah.
She's a tough one to please, actually, aren't you?
Yep.
Yes, she is. So anyway, thank you for joining us, India.
Can I tell a joke?
Yes, you're going to tell a joke, and then she's going to bugger off to bed. So you tell the joke.
Okay. This joke contains vulgar language. Your discretion is advised. Okay, so it's about cats. The mom cat says, "Do they still worship us, child?" Child says, "I shit in a box and I cleaned it up." Mom says,
"Yeah,
good."
I don't like cats, to be honest. Cats are just terrible. Terrible pets, they really are. In fact, your ferret's actually better than any cat. Anywho, so it's time to say goodbye to India. So we'll give you a cheer. So say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Please send presents.
Send gifts and food. Thank you, and thank you, India. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Thank you, India. Right, that.
Merry
there you go.
Year.
There you go. What a great review. But yeah, you know she's tough to please movie wise.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. I mean, it's one of those things because she does love a horror movie and. You know, she'll give it 10 minutes, and if it's boring, it's off, you know. So,
that's it, yeah.
Which is great.
You know, it's funny
and
because
me, she won't sit through the crap that I sit through. In fact, speaking of jokes, I saw a great joke about, actually, Bird Box, saying Netflix is trying to figure out how come 14 million people have seen Bird Box on 6 Netflix accounts. So.
Oh wow.
Actually, it's a joke, but
yeah. No, I saw that. That movie seemed to like pop up out of nowhere, and like everybody is talking about it. I mean, when I go on Facebook, every other post in the last few days have been about that movie, and it just.
Some people have said they don't like it. I mean, you know, again, it's not for everyone, but and I think that the parallels with A Quiet Place are there. But I mean, Bird Box was written. It was obviously a book long before Quiet Place came out. But I think both, mm-hmm. you know, very. I mean, I enjoyed Quiet Place. That was a very, very good movie.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I watch it. Watch it, and we can see what you think next week, or knowing
Definitely.
You in 30 years' time when you get around to actually watching it. So.
Yeah, that's more like it. Yeah.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. But no, it's this few. It's nice to semi Netflix. I think Amazon Prime. Obviously, they're generating their own content now, and there's some good stuff. There's some good stuff mm-hmm. coming out, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, they're,
yeah.
they're not pandering to the big studios, which is great. You know, you don't
yeah,
have the.
Yeah.
It's not because you see a lot of the big studio stuff, and it. You know, again, I'm going to pick on the Conjuring universe stuff, which. To be fair, we watch it. Again, it's great for kids of his age, you know, because it's got the jump scares and it's not too gory, it's not too taxing, and it's pretty formulaic, you know. And movies by committee, pretty much. But you get the independent stuff, you know, your Quiet Place, your Bird Boxes, your Babadooks, that sort of thing. The Jane Doe, obviously, which is a big favourite of mine. And they dare to be different. They dare to
yeah,
be different, you know, and you know, I think we're going to see more and more, you know, good quality stuff that is coming, you know, straight to streaming, straight to Prime, straight to Netflix, etc., which is great. I mean, it's great for, you know, creative, and hopefully, you know, it throws the door open for people like us who actually write the things in the first place.
I think I was surprised to see that it was Sandra Bullock in, you know, independent, and, you know, because you see her on, you know, at the movies.
Yeah.
And,
well, John Malkovich likes to do, you know, he, again, great, great actor. You know, he probably pops up in more independent stuff. But, yes, the last thing I saw her in was Gravity, which obviously a massive, big budget mainstream movie. And to turn up an indie horror movie, but she's phenomenal. I do like her. She's a great actress, and she is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely brilliant in the
like
film.
That.
So, I think the stigma of, you know, movie stars doing TV and independent stuff is sort of vanishing. I mean, Julia Roberts is in is it Homecoming, which is an Amazon Prime. Series, and we're mm-hmm. seeing more and more of these stars. I was going to say Kevin Spacey was in House of Cards, because we're not allowed to discuss Kevin Spacey anymore, because, you know, Me Too,
right?
Hashtag Me Too and all of that. So moving on from Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein, etc. It's I've talked myself into a corner. You have to dig me out of this one next year.
Yeah, I got nothing. Well,
there was that whole thing earlier this year, you know, where it was like every other day it was somebody else, and they were throwing accusations at James Franco, and I'm a big fan of him. He's very underrated as an actor, James Franco, and they were throwing shit at him, and like, I really hope that's not true, because I like him, he's great. But, you know, it's sadly one of my all-time heroes from my childhood, my first pop idol, Gary Glitter, turned out to be an absolute out-and-out pedophile. So he's actually doing time. He did time in Vietnam for having sex with 11-year-old girls, and he's doing time in England he was caught with child porn, and he took his computer into PC World to be fixed. And of course, it's like, this is Gary Glitter, so we're going to check what's on his hard drive. And he did a little bit of time for that, but got away with anything too serious. And then he went to Vietnam and did that. And then he came back to England, and they got him on one of these historic things that he's supposed to have, you know, done things he shouldn't with young girls back in the 70s, and yeah, he's doing. He'll probably die in jail. I mean, the sad thing is, like I say, he was my first, you know, pop idol as a kid. So It's going to destroy my child a little bit.
Definitely. You know, I hate to admit it, but, you know, the whole Bill Cosby crap. I grew up on the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan. Yeah.
I know. I was never a big fan. It was all a bit, it's a bit schmaltzy for me. And I was never, we got it over in England, but, you know, Little Bill, which was Bill Cosby,
and
we used to watch that. But yeah, Bill Cosby, I mean, he will probably die in prison as well. It's just, it's sad. It really is.
One of the first, like, real comedy shows that I watched, and it's way back, was Bill Cosby himself, and I thought that was hilarious. I laughed so hard I cried.
But it's Oh well. But then again, I mean, you feel sorry for the, obviously, you know, a bit of your childhood's gone, but obviously it's the victims of these people you really feel sorry for. The stuff they did was. I mean, I think one of Gary Glitter's alleged victims, I think, actually killed herself. Many years ago, because of the shame and what have you, and nobody believed her and all the rest of it. And it's just like these people, they get into a position of power like that, and they destroy lives, which is just, it's wrong. It really is wrong. There's no other way around it. So, on that jolly note, we'll bring Edward back now. Hey, Edward,
perfect.
Follow that. There we go.
Hello. I was just listening to the conversation about Bill Cosby. I'm going to really date myself on this one, but do you remember Fat Albert by chance, either one of you?
I do.
With Bill Cosby, back in the 70s, that was one of the staples of Saturday morning television. And Bill Cosby was the host of that. It was kind of part animated, and then Bill Cosby would jump in between the segments and deliver these little bite-sized chunks of wisdom, and kind of like you, Xtina. I grew up with Bill Cosby. I watched the Cosby Show during the 80s, and that was a shame.
I truly enjoyed that show. I wanted to be Lisa Bonet in that. I mean, she was amazing. I loved her. I think I had a girl crush on her. I did. It was just a great show. And yeah, you were right, James. It was a little cheesy and everything, but you know, I still liked it.
I was never a big fan of American sitcoms over there. They were all a bit cheesy. I think that's probably the best word. Very cheesy.
They were. Oh, you know, since we have Edward.
Sorry, Xtina, do join in.
I was going to say that, you know, because we have Edward back, and I have missed doing it for the last couple of weeks or doing the whole thing. But could I get you to do questions with me, Edward?
Absolutely. I'm game.
Yay. Do we have a little jingle?
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, number one, what is the best or worst movie you ever saw?
The best or worst movie that I ever saw? Well, James, you're gonna think this is schmaltzy as well. I know the. I'm just kind of.
You may be surprised.
He's not gonna like this movie, and this actor has become controversial, and he said some horrible things and so on. But I like the movie. I was a big fan of Braveheart when it came out.
That was a good film. And I have to say, I've been a Mel Gibson fan since Mad Max. He again, another one who sort of let his mouth run away with him a little bit. He's made some good movies. Yeah, Braveheart was totally and utterly historically inaccurate, but it was a good movie.
Okay, number two, what was the very first grown-up horror novel that you read?
All that. Salem's Lot, Stephen King. I read that when I was actually it was the book that got me in an adult sense kind of interested in writing. I was a working at the high school library on my free period, and I picked it up, and I just kind of on a whim, and I read it in like 3 days, and I thought it was just absolutely great.
And I hear that answer often. It's usually a Stephen King book. Yeah, that's great. Mine was Pet Cemetery. I read it during
a
camping trip.
Like
that was a good one as well.
That was great too, Pet Cemetery.
It was great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the I'm looking forward to the remake, and I'm not a big remake fan, but I'm really looking forward to remake next year. So yeah, should be good.
Okay, what is your favorite cuss word?
My favorite cuss word?
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness. Is this like a PG-rated show or a what?
No, you go for it. Sorry, the little girl is gone now. She's not in anymore. So you have
okay.
It.
You know, I'm gonna say, isn't there a British curse word like bullocks or something?
Bollocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, bollocks. Yeah, bollocks is a good old British curse
word.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with that one. I'm gonna be safe.
Bollocks.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And I was going to say that, you know, James said, you know, don't worry, the little girl's gone, but she probably knows more cuss words than I do. I'm just going to throw that out.
She has, and I don't know where she gets it from, she's got a foul mouth. She really has.
And he doesn't know where she gets it. Yeah.
No idea. Moving on.
Right. Okay, what would be the worst way you can imagine yourself dying?
Wow. The worst
way. Right?
Oh, that's easy too. I have a – there's only one creature on the face of the earth that I have a phobia about, and those are wasps. I hate wasps.
Stung
by
a good
wasps.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've got a film you've got to see. It's called Stung. Again, a great indie horror movie about giant killer wasps. So you may enjoy that.
You know,
it is a good movie,
like
actually.
Hell.
Yeah, but that's the point.
To be
honest.
Well, I was stung by bees before, but the wasps really, really are bad. I almost cried. It was bad. Okay. What was your very first pet?
My very first pet?
Mm-hmm.
Scruffy the Cat, 1976.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
I do like cats. I gotta admit. I don't have one now, but I kind of prefer their company to dogs. But I like all animals, basically.
You know, some cats are really awesome. They really are. And then other ones are just total dicks. So there's, you know, doesn't seem to be much of an in between, really. There really doesn't. And dogs,
no.
Usually, for the most part, are sweet and amazing no matter what. But, you know, like I did have a cat back when I was younger that was so awesome. And I loved her to death. And then, like, the next cat, that was a dick. So it's like hit or miss with cats. But usually dogs are all just pretty cool, you know.
Yeah,
they are, yeah.
Okay, who is your biggest influence, either in writing or just in life generally?
Wow, well, I'll keep it with writing. I would say Michael Connelly would be I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, the crime writer. I just love the way he keeps things paced. And, of course, I'm going to have to say Stephen King because he was the one who kind of got me. That's almost a cliche, I know, but...
Right, but it's good.
It's still there.
Okay. Oh, I love this question. If you were God for a day, what would you do?
Wow. I guess I would make myself 30 years younger.
Wow. Yeah,
I just
that's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Like that
it
one.
It is. It's one
I
haven't heard.
Anything,
no. I like that. I think I'm with you. Yeah, I want to be younger. Yeah, that's good.
Mm.
I don't want to go back
but
in
with,
time.
But
I just want to be younger.
But with what you know, now, but be younger.
Exactly.
That would be fantastic.
That's
yes.
The caveat. Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, who or what is the crappiest horror or supernatural being, in your opinion?
Oh, that's easy, too. I absolutely detest, despise this trend to make vampires and werewolves like these teenage girl romantic fantasy.
Okay, that's good.
No, I totally agree. Sparkly vampires should be banned.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things, you know. I mean, the point with having a sexual fantasy about a vampire is, you know, bearing in mind without getting too physiological, it's all about blood and transfer, and these things are dead. So, I mean, I actually sat through the whole Twilight series because I have a young daughter, as we.
Right.
Spotted, and she got pregnant. How the hell did he get? But he's dead. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, if she got pregnant by the werewolf guy, that would have been believable.
Mm.
That
yeah.
I could have gone with.
You remember in Angel, the Buffy spinoff, where Darla got pregnant by Angel, and that was two vampires. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
remember that show. Yeah, and
I
love
know.
Buffy.
Never watched
and
it.
Andy Tomo. Oh man. Okay, and talking about vampires being love interests and everything. No, Twilight is cheesy. I did love it. I do love Twilight. I do. It's cheesy, but I love it. And then you have the Vampire Diaries, and again, I wasn't a fan or anything. But Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy is awesome, and so is Angel. So I'm. And I think one of my biggest crushes when I was younger was Angel. He was, David Boreanaz. I love him to pieces. So I'm going to judge you on that answer.
There you go. You've been judged. We've both been judged,
yeah.
I think.
I got to be honest. I can't lie.
Okay, let's see. Oh, this question always just freaks me out a little bit when I ask it to a horror author, but here we go. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
No. I don't even think about that again.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
No hesitation whatsoever.
That's great.
Go.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But, I've had the answer. People tell me, well, even if it wasn't legal, so it's kind of,
mm-hmm.
and then, depends on what kind of barbecue sauce I have or something like that. My answer is no as well. I'm with you.
Yeah, if you've even got a pause on that one or think on that one,
Who is your favorite member of the British royal family?
Oh, well, how far back can I go?
Oh, it's
as
far back
as you
as want. You want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Henry the Seventh, the one who founded the Tudor dynasty.
Wow. That's
excellent.
A new one.
Good
you know,
choice.
People, that's
Good
a great
choice.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first time these questions were asked on me, I think I was like a deer in headlights with that question because I am like, I think maybe I fell asleep during, social studies, history class or whatever, when they taught. Yeah, I have no clue. I'm like, the queen? That's all I had. That's it.
You went.
So.
You did go for the queen, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, did,
I was
yeah.
always I was always a big fan because we studied him at school as Henry VIII, mainly because he was responsible for the dissolution of the church, the Catholic Church. So and he had all those wives as well. He had them all beheaded and everything, which was always made for great studying. But brought history to life a little bit.
I know his song. That's all. I'm Henry VIII. I am. Yeah, I have a song. That's all I got. So.
Well, there you go.
Okay,
you know a bit of British history.
What franchise is your favorite? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Elm Street. Even though the movies are dated, I like the fact that it is supernatural things taking place in suburbia, which I think is kind of a cool concept.
Huh.
And I think that that character of Freddy kind of hits on a lot of childhood fears and things like that. So I would say Elm Street.
I think I'm going to be controversial now. I actually enjoyed the remake, the recent remake.
I did too.
I thought they did a really good. I think they gave Freddy a, because they were giving him a little bit more of a backstory, a bit like Rob Zombie did with Michael Myers. And I think it worked really well. I think it. I think certainly with Elm Street, as it, by the time we got to Nightmare on Elm Street 4 or 5, it was just ridiculous because they turned Freddy into some sort of, you know, pop culture hero. But he wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a child killer, for goodness sake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the original, I think the original, I'd say, and the remake, I think certainly excellent film. I mean, I think, like you say, the effects and they're a little bit dated now, but as a story, it's still terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
And with the remake, I think they made him scarier, which he is scary.
Yes.
But in the original movies, he almost had a comical feel to it, you know. But the movie definitely, he was a lot creepier. And you know, if this was a true, you know, if this was a real person, he's creepy as hell. So, you know, I'm right there.
Yeah, they did well. Yeah, there you go. Well done, Hollywood. For once, they got it right.
And let's see, what is your least favorite part of the writing process?
Definitely would be editing.
Yep, I agree with you. That's what we hear that most often, I think.
I think that is pretty much universal, actually. None of us like editing.
Yeah.
Can I get a quick question? Sorry, I'm speaking. it's funny. I read if you read Stephen King's book on writing, one of the things he said when he edits, he shaves off about 10%. I'm the opposite. I usually add about 10% when I'm editing. I mean, which camp
way,
do you fall into? You actually add to
it? I definitely do thin first drafts, and then I'll enhance and add in shading and so on as I go back through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm somebody who adds in, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree on the add-in as well. I have read authors who talk about shaving off here and there and cutting the scene, and I am not sure how they go about doing that. I mean, I'm like, I must have, you know, wrote it for a reason. I'm leaving it there. So I don't know. I don't understand how they do that. Okay, and this is our bonus question, and it is basically just for me. Baseball or stamp collection?
You know, I'm into both.
Hey! Yeah.
I had a stamp collection as a kid, but I'm probably more into baseball now.
Woo! There you go.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I am, well, I guess it's too early to get excited. I go through a little bit of depression when baseball season ends and, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's the Super Bowl, and they're all excited. And I just am waiting for the catchers and pitchers to report, which, you know, doesn't happen for quite some time. But, you know, we'll have spring training starting at the end of March, so I have that to look forward to. I'm a big baseball fan, and I drive James absolutely crazy.
Well, you don't like baseball,
No, I do not.
No.
And I, bearing in mind, I grew up with cricket, so, you know, the two are very, this is incredibly dull. I mean, they're both just a lot of standing around, a bit of activity standing around, but cricket's probably worse for that. And cricket, I mean, again, the rules in cricket are almost incomprehensible. And I've read books on it, and I still don't understand cricket, to be honest. But no, baseball, no, I just find it dull. I'm sorry.
There's an inner game of baseball that you have to watch. It's not actually what's going on all the time. It's the inner game.
It's a cerebral game. See, see it. It's kind of like the short version of chess.
I don't like chess either. I'm sadly I have a very, very short attention span, and anything that takes too long to sort of figure out, forget it, not happening.
He does. Oh my gosh, I have to give away a little secret. Sometimes if we have a guest on and they're reading an excerpt that, you know, maybe it's not his cup of tea, you know, I will hear him start to fiddle with things. I will, and I'm like,
stuff.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, Dave.
I do. I'll start fiddling with things, yeah. I know. I'm terrible. I've always
it's
been
awesome.
The same. I always have a very, very short attention span. If something doesn't catch my attention within the first few minutes, I'm done. That's it. My brain just goes, no, forget it. I'm not doing that. Which is, you know, when we're plowing through the multitude of submissions we get, you know, literally within, if it's not grabbed me within the first page, that's it. It's rejected. You know, if it does grab me, and we've had some in that actually sat, and I've read the first 50 pages that an author sent in, and I said, send me the rest, and I will sit and read the whole damn thing because it's got me. Means it's going to be a good book because it's passed the Jim Acid test. You know, if it'll catch my attention, it'll do well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there you go.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think we're just about out of time for our show, and I want to thank you so much, Edward, for coming on. And
I had a great time. This was like the fastest hour and a half of my life.
I know.
It's gone by far too quickly. It's been an absolute pleasure, Edward. We must have you back on again.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Just to be quickly, tell us where we can find you.
My website is edwardtrumnellbooks.com, and what I do there, I put short stories up fairly regularly. I also am doing serial fiction there as well. I'm working on an ongoing project that I've got that I'm posting up to my website called Revolutionary Ghosts, and the premise for that is the Headless Horseman and some different spirits from the American Revolution come back to 20th century America. So,
fantastic.
Kind of doing that.
I want to read that.
I will get your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk you, then go there and do it. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I will be bugging you to come back.
Okay. It's been a pleasure, both of you.
It's been fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay,
good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Time, we have to say good night, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.